Happy Wednesday. I'm Johanna Sundlow, and this is, per usual, the audio version of Fullstack HR. And you can read the full article at fullstackhr.io if you aren't already at Fullstack HR and listening to this sort of audio file on the article, because then, yeah, you're already on Fullstack HR, I guess. But if you're listening to this in your podcast player, you can head over to Fullstack HR to read the full piece as well. But with that said, let's get into it. In the modern world, organizations are constantly moving forward. There's always something new to be discovered and achieved. Thus, you need your employees to grow and develop. Most of us agree here. It's not a controversial statement by any means. We'd also often conclude that we need performance management process to do so. Once again, not controversial. After all, we need to know what our employees are doing and how we can keep them motivated and productive. And the idea is as old as our profession. And the earliest versions of performance management emerged in the 1920s. And we covered that somewhat in the past. But it's almost a religious fact that you need to have a performance management process in place, or else people won't develop or even work. The "you can't manage what you don't measure" argument still holds true in many, many organizations. Hence, you need to measure it. But how do you measure performance? What are performance metrics we use in our day-to-day work? Back in the day, it was pretty straightforward. We measured time. You came to the factory, you stood at the assembly line, and you went home. How fast you did stuff, that was what was counted at the end of the day. But we all can acknowledge that this has shifted over the last decades, perhaps even more dramatically in the past few years. And we as HR, of course, haven't been ignorant to the shift. Through different models, we've been trying to keep up. In the 70s emerged the 9 boxes, and then emerged 360 tools and whatnot. And we are trying our best to evaluate our employees, all to develop our people as fast as possible, keep up with the constant changing environment. And I believe that this is the wrong approach. And hear me out on this one. I'll get back to it in a second. But firstly, a performance management process as it's developed right now can be a hindrance rather than a help in developing people. It's often viewed that way by managers as something cumbersome and time-consuming. And as Alanis Morissette would have put it, isn't that ironic? Here we are, and I mean we as HR, trying to improve performance and output while asking the employees and managers to spend a lot of time filling out forms rather than working or developing themselves. Is it worth it? And moreover, and here I have to say I'm heavily influenced by the works of Marcus Buckingham and Ashley Goodall and their excellent book, 9 Lies About Work. We are poor raters of others' performance. Most of the performance management processes we have today are built around the brilliant managers and their ability to rate employees' performance accurately. Has shown us repeatedly that we are poor raters who are more wrong than right. Our ratings usually tell us more about us versus the ones we are rating. And that's not great, right? Still, organizations spend an endless amount of time on their performance processes. They hire HR experts, such as myself, to manage the process. And they spend money and expensive tools and systems to help them manage their employees' performance. But the results are underwhelming at best. And the critical problem with our traditional performance process is that they require too much effort from both sides to produce results that are at best mediocre. And that's not great. Let's do a quick calculation of this. How much time is actually spent on performance management processes? You have 500 employees and 60 managers in your organization. And if you do a proper process, we estimate that the employee spends at least 2 hours on their development in connection to the process to prepare and to have the talk and to summarize stuff afterwards. That's 1,000 hours spent from the employee side. Then the manager must spend 1 hour preparing for the talk with the employee, 1 hour in the meeting, and then 30 minutes to summarize. That's 2.5 hours per manager. So the average manager has 8.3 employees, but let's be conservative and say 8. 8 times 2.5, that's 20 hours per manager times 60 managers. 1,200 hours spent from the manager side. And if you combine them, that's 2,200 hours. The median hourly pay for a US worker with a college degree is $40 per hour, and that's $88,000 spent on the performance process. I'm counting conservative. So it might be money well spent, but for it to be, you need to be sure it's increasing retention, increasing performance, and increasing employee engagement. And are you sure of that? Or are we still doing performance processes in the same good old way that we always have for the sake of the ritual versus looking at what we gain from it? good question to ask yourself. So what do we do instead? Beyond being influenced by 9 lies about work, it's impossible for me not to be influenced by old workplaces, and Spotify in particular. And combined then with the work I've been doing over the last years with different organizations across the world, and I've landed at the conclusion that I like a lightweight approach to performance management and performance reviews. But it simply don't overdo it, and do it for the right reasons. Enable the business and enable the managers. And I'm not saying or advocating that you should abandon the performance management process. I'm saying that you should challenge how you do it and the value you get from it, and explore alternative ways of doing it and even new ways of working so the process can work for you rather than you working for the process. And how do you do that then? And as I mentioned, I like the lightweight approach, which centers around meaningful conversations between the employee and the manager. Simply an open and honest conversation about where the employee is heading and how the manager views that direction. But before having that conversation, the manager should ask themselves a bunch of questions. So, okay, Johannes, we hear you, but what are these questions? And here I'm once again referring back to the 9 Lies About Work book from Marcus and Ashley. And they point out that we are poor raters of others, but we are indeed great raters of our own experiences. So no one else knows our experiences better than we do. Hence the questions you ask should ask yourselves before this meeting should be aimed more toward what the manager experiences and feels versus how they perceive someone else. And this is an approach that resonates deeply with me. And every time I have the opportunity, I squeeze these questions in the performance management process, because I'm not always succeeding in exchanging the performance management process completely, but I always try to nudge these questions in. And the questions are, do you always go to this team member when you need extraordinary results? Do you choose to work with this team member as much as you possibly can? Would you promote this person today if you could? Do you think this person has a performance problem that you need to address immediately? And how would you feel if this person were to leave tomorrow? And these are the questions. And I can't stress enough, you should really buy this book. I have it as an ebook, a physical book, and an audiobook, and I listen or read it at least once a year because it's so good. I'm standing on the shoulder of giants here, and you should buy the book. But by asking these questions, the manager is way better prepared for the conversation with the employee. And as mentioned, that's where the magic happens. Hence, we need to design and ensure that the exchange between them is good. Another controversial aspect is that I always like to add a calibration meeting around performance. And I say it's controversial because when suggesting this, the reaction from many is that, but is it okay to talk about employees in this way? Or if you have poor data from your managers, will that not result in sort of poor calibration meetings as well? Yes, that might be the case. And yes, it is a bit controversial in the sense of you talk about employees, but they're not in the room. But if you take the stance in the questions above that I mentioned, you have your view presented in the room. It's your feelings and your perception of your own feelings, not so much about person X is this way and person Y is that way. And I like to do this calibration meeting before the manager discuss it with the employee, because it allows the manager to practice what they want to say to the employee. Then after that, it's time to meet with the employee. And did I say that's where the magic should happen? I did, right? And the meeting is probably worth a whole article, but that's another story for another day. And here you have it. That's my semi high level thinking on how you do performance management in a modern and fashionable way. And there are most likely flaws to this process. And if you have opinions, suggestions for improvements or whatnot, please drop a comment in the article at Fullstack HR or shoot me an email. I'll be happy to hear your thoughts, and I will catch you in the next one.